title this message. I used it last year, part of it. The Lord helped me to add a few things to it. The Spirit of Thanksgiving. The Spirit of Thanksgiving. Psalms 100, we'll read all five verses. Verses 1 and 2 and 4 and 5 are results. Just results of really experiencing verse 3. But we'll read all five verses. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And this is what's important. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's one thing to believe in God, but it's another thing to know it and to be aware of it in your heart. To know ye, it is he that hath made us and not ourselves, and not we ourselves. To know ye that we are his people. To know ye that we are the sheep of his pasture. Because of that, you'll enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and you'll bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. I want to talk a little bit first about the history of Thanksgiving. In 1621, the new settlers came to this new land, America, and thanked God for the tremendous crops that they had that year and had the first Thanksgiving. And then we come along, George Washington, in his first year of his inauguration as president, he also recognized a Thanksgiving Day. Then we come to the year 1863, President Lincoln, and he's the first one who made Thanksgiving a real, true, genuine holiday, a day of Thanksgiving for our country. Things have certainly changed here in America. Thanksgiving is not practiced very much anymore. Why? Because it's not in the heart. It's not coming from the heart. I had a district manager for Kroger's offer a few times promotions. And this person told me, Dennis, you need to look out for yourself. The first thought that came to my mind was, that's what I did for 29 years before I was saved. Look what it got me. It got me at the bottom of the barrel. And America keeps sinking deeper and deeper at the bottom of that barrel. America's families, or dysfunctional families and homes and marriages, businesses, and the government, from the president to the Congress and Senate, is overflowing with the spirit of narcissism. When the majority of Americans feel they are entitled, that will produce a spirit of unthankfulness. That's where it comes from. An attitude of gratitude is not a part of our nature. Being really thankful from the heart, that's not a part of our nature. See, in 1 Corinthians 15:42, we came from a corruptible seed. A seed that is full of dishonor, a seed of weakness. That's not going to produce a spirit of gratitude, real gratitude from the heart. This is a result here in America of God leaving this nation to itself. We have to be taught to be thankful as human beings. You know, we give out free samples up there at the store, little bags of sliced apples, and a few of the parents teach their children, what do you say? What do you say? Thank you. When I came forth from my mother's womb, I was overflowing with an attitude of ingratitude. That's what I was born with. So how did or what caused a spirit of thanksgiving to begin to come from the mind and the heart and the life of Dennis? It's verse 3 of Psalms. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. When you really know it, that's what's going to produce an attitude of gratitude. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. When that became a reality in 1994, that's what it produced. We are his people. Knowing that we are his people, knowing you are a child of the living God, will produce an attitude of gratitude. Knowing you are the sheep of his pasture, a part of his pasture, one of the sheep of his pasture. times the word thankfulness, thanks, and thanksgiving is mentioned in the Bible. 27 times the word thanksgiving. So I look up that word thank. Thank, thanks, thankful, thankfulness, or thanksgiving in Vine's dictionary. It says, for the meanings of which, see grace. Grace is the expression of joy Godward, or thanks. Thanks is the expression of joy Godward. Of joy Godward. It's actually gratitude. And gratitude is therefore the fruit of the Spirit. It's an acknowledgement of a favor. That's what thanks or thankfulness means. It's the acknowledgement of a favor. It's a celebration of divine goodness. Grace, its objective means that which bestows or occasions pleasure. That which bestows or occasions pleasure. That's what grace means. That which bestows or occasions pleasure, delight, or causes favorable regard. That's what grace does in the life of a lost sinner. I am more thankful from the heart when I remember who I am and where I came from. The more I think about who I am and where I came from, the more thankful from the heart you'll be. That will always produce that. On the part of the bestower, grace is a friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds. That's what God saving a lost soul is. It's a kindly act. Especially with reference to divine favor or grace. Grace expresses stress on its freeness. It's free. And universality, its spontaneous character or its self-originated. It's voluntary, acting by its own impulse. Its own impulse. I like that. It's not dependent upon me. As in the case of God's redemptive mercy and the pleasure or joy he designs for the recipients. He's the one who chooses the recipients. Jesus said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. This is an event that is going to happen in the people's lives that the Father has given to Jesus. It's going to happen in their lives. It's going to be life-changing. It's going to turn their world upside down. It's going to completely change their life and their destiny. There is a people out there. Maybe your brother, your sister, or maybe a family member, a lost coworker, or a neighbor. We don't know who it is. But there is a people out there amongst us that one day they are going to have an encounter that's going to change their lives. It's going to change their lives. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. It's going to happen to them. I don't know who it is, but it's going to happen to them. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I told a man at work about the doctrine of election. He got very angry, very upset. He says, what about all the rest? Well, that's when I told him about the insignificance of man. That no one is worthy of being saved by God's grace. No one's worthy of the blood of the only begotten Son of God. No one's worthy to be saved. I'm amazed that he saves anyone when I think of the human race and who they are and how sinful the human race is. It's amazing that God would save anyone. That changed his mind, his spirit, and his attitude real quick. Job 7:17 declares, what is man that thou shouldest magnify him? What is man that God should magnify anyone from the human race? It's an amazing thing to me. It's amazing. And that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him. For God to set his heart upon anyone from the human race is amazing. Because no one's worthy of it. Job 25:4-6. How then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Verse 5. Behold, even to the moon, when it compares to the glory of God, it shineth not. Yea, even the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man? Man is much less than that. That's how insignificant man is. That is a worm. Psalms 8:4, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? Why is God even mindful? You know, it's amazing to me that he was even mindful of me in 1994. I didn't even give him a second thought. When I was in my worst case scenario, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually, I didn't even give him a second thought. as to the answer of my problems. But he still came to me where I was. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's what grace is. Our insignificance, it's when we understand what we are and where we came from. That's what will produce from the heart a spirit of gratitude or thanksgiving. It works all the time. It doesn't fail. Jesus said in Revelation 3:3, Jesus reminds the church at Sardis to remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Remember how it happened to you. Remember that. Don't forget it. Your spiritual beginning for the people here that are saved. For 29 years, I lived a life without God. That is in the awareness of God. I believe there was a God. But God was not a reality in my life. He was not a reality. God was not a reality in my life. I had a neighbor who professes to be an atheist. An atheist is an individual who believes there is no God. I've always heard and was taught in school Darwin's theory. I was in ninth grade there at Flushing when I first heard that Darwin's theory. I didn't pay much attention to that subject in high school. I really didn't pay much attention to any of the subjects in the school. Not a whole lot anyway. They believe in the Big Bang Theory. That is, two asteroids collide in space. From that is how everything was created. And the process of evolution began. We came from some amoeba or organism, and here we are today. Sounds pretty stupid, huh? I was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm there when I was in the ninth grade there at Flushing. But I still knew that was stupid. And I knew that there was a God. I believe there was a God. But he was still not a reality in my life. He was still not a reality in my life. It was no accident that day for me and my neighbor to meet at that particular place and time. God blessed me that day to share with him my testimony. I told him there's a lot of church-going people who's not any better off than you. A person can go to church all their life and still leave this life without being conscious or aware of God, except at the great white throne at the judgment. I told him that's what my condition was for 29 years. For 29 years. I believed in God, but I was not conscious or aware of God. I went to church while I was a kid. I was baptized numerous times. I'm sure I repeated a prayer and had some religious sects and creeds declare that I was saved. They told me I was saved. The end result, I was still without hope and without God in the world. I was still without hope and without God. When all was said and done, I wasn't any better off than my neighbor, an atheist. Wasn't any better off. I told him that all changed for me in 1994. Everything changed. See, only God can cause a person to be conscious or aware of him. It's a miracle. God has to make it happen in a person's life. Many so-called churches, religious sects or creeds try to perform this notable, miraculous act on their own without God, and it won't work. You know, it's a wonderful to be a part of the cause and the agenda of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be a part of it. Turn me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But we still must remember our insignificance. And in verse 1, it says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. What was the cause of this? Well, he explains it here. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, something was causing that. So what is it that's causing this? Are you not carnal, walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another saith, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? They were glorying in men. They were caught, the church was caught up in glorying in men instead of giving God all the glory. See, Paul explains it, verse 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? Paul says right here, verse 6, I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The increase only comes from God. So then neither is he that planteth anything. Whether you plant, whether you're part of the planting or part of the watering, you're nothing still. You're still insignificant. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. It's still a wonderful thing to be a part of the watering and the planting. It's a wonderful thing. That's what gives me joy in this insane world, to tell people the wonderful things God keeps doing in my life. But God has to give the increase. He has to do a work there in their lives, without which nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. I told him since 1994, God has been a reality in my life. And I told him, you and your family are always in my prayers, and I pray God would cause you to experience what I experienced in 1994. No little, no shorter, exactly even more what I experienced, for God to become a reality in their lives. Then I know the same results will happen that happened in my life. In today's modern day Christendom, the majority of them teach that God of the Bible has to wait for man before God can perform his will and fulfill his purpose. If that were the case, I would still be without hope and without God in the world. If I was waiting around for man to do something first. Every part of my life was a wreck, physically, mentally, and especially spiritually. But did you know that God wasn't even in my thoughts as to the answer to all my problems? That's the sad case of the whole human race. God has to show up in their lives. Not even a little. But Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God still divinely intervened in the life of Dennis. And that's what has changed everything and keeps changing everything. And I thank him. Thank him for that. My favorite song in our old song, but 'twas a glad day. I was lost in sin when Jesus found me. Jesus found me. It wasn't the church. It wasn't the pastor, the preacher. Jesus came to me where I was and he found me. But he rescued me. All glory to his name. Though the cords of worldly pleasure bound me, yet he saved me from guilt and shame. It was a glad day when Jesus found me, when his strong arms were thrown around me, when my sins he buried in the deepest sea, and my soul he filled with joy and victory. It was a glad day. Oh, hallelujah. It was a glad day. He claimed his own. He claimed his own. I will shout a glad hosanna in glory when I see him upon his throne. What happened to that man happened to me. That's how it happened to me. Now, speaking to the saved, how much of the time are we in the state of the awareness of the Lord himself? How much of, out of 365 days a year, how much of the time is spent in the awareness of him? See, it's in the awareness of him that produces humility, which will remind us who we are, that is our insignificance, and then to remind us to be placed by the hand of God from the position of condemnation, that is to officially declare him fit for use, to the position of favor regard. What a change! That will produce an attitude of gratitude constantly in our lives. We'll always be thankful to him. We'll just keep thanking him over and over again. The more we think on it, is it possible to forget this miraculous transformation? How could a people forget this wonderful transformation? Well, God reminds Israel just before he leads them over Jordan into the promised land. He reminds them some very important instructions in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to give you houses that you did not build. I'm going to give you vineyards that you did not plant. And I'm going to have wells dig for you that you did not dig. When thou hast eaten and thou art full, don't forget the Lord. That's the key thing. The more we are unaware of him and his presence, the more unthankful we'll be. It will produce a spirit of ingratitude. We're not going to appreciate it. Empathy will take over. We'll just take it for granted. How important is the awareness of Him or fellowship with Him? Very crucial. The word thankful means feeling or expressing gratitude. And the word gratitude means quality of being grateful. It's an emotion of the heart. It's excited by a favor received. How can you tell whether you have a spirit of gratitude or ingratitude? This is where we have to be honest with ourselves. And this isn't about us feeling bad and crawling into a corner. It's about looking that He can cause us to make progress and learn and grow and even be more grateful to Him. We can always make progress all the time. He's a great teacher. He can teach us. He can cause us to learn and grow in this. But we have to be honest with ourselves. There are 365 days a year. How much of that time are we truly thankful from the heart? We have to be honest with Him. He already knows. But just be honest with Him. Just be sincere with Him. How much of that time is spent with the spirit of gratitude out of that time of the year? And I fail at this miserably. But I'm not going to go crawl off in the corner, but I'm going to ask the Lord to help me to be more grateful, to be more thankful. That all depends on how much of that time is spent in the awareness of Him, learning how to fellowship with Him. If anyone can teach you how to fellowship with Him, He can. He's been teaching me for 23 and a half years how to have fellowship with Him. And He keeps causing me to learn and grow in that more and more. If He can teach me, He can teach any of His people this. Having the spirit of teachableness is very crucial. If you struggle with that, ask Him to help you. Ask Him to help you. I believe it's not a question if God can. It's not a question if God can. It's just how bad do you really want to have fellowship with Him? It's like a guy at work. He wasn't sure that he was saved. All right? And the guy comes to me. He's got tears in his eye just wanting to know that he's saved. But I got to be careful not to get caught up in the emotion of that and tell Him what He wants to hear, that He's saved. So instead I go home and I pray about it. Lord, what do I say to this man? You know what the Lord showed me to say? Tell him, how bad do you really want to know? How bad do you really want to know that you're saved? Are you willing for God to, what are you willing for God to do in your life to cause you to know if you're saved? What are you willing for God to do? It works the same way with us learning to have fellowship with Him. How bad do we really want to know? It's not a question if God can. He can cause us to have more fellowship with Him, to have a closer, more intimate fellowship with Him more and more. It's not a question if He can. In Colossians 2, if you turn with me there, and we'll read verses 6. Verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus. It took a miracle. That all started by a miracle right there. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Walk ye in Him. You're going to have to keep leaning upon Him. You're going to have to keep asking for the grace and strength. You're going to have to ask Him for the power to keep on walking in Him, to walk Him, to learn to have fellowship with Him. You got to ask Him for the grace and the strength. You can't do it by yourself. You need His help. It's a matter of just keep asking Him. Rooted, it all has to have a beginning. It has to have a beginning. Rooted and built up in Him. Then you'll become more established in the faith. The more interaction you have with Him, the stronger your faith will become. Your faith will get stronger and stronger the more interaction you have with Him, the more fellowship you have with Him, as you have been taught, and you'll abound therein with what? Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and gratitude will just come from the heart. It's a result. It's not about being a super saint or more holier than John or Jim or Joe. It's a result. Thanksgiving is a result of having interaction and fellowship with Jesus Christ. It all It all comes from that. In 1 Thessalonians 2. And we'll read verse 12 and 13. That you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. He's thanking God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Hearing, he's talking about it. They were having a interaction with God himself. He was thankful for that. He was thankful that those people, the church there at Thessalonica, they were having an interaction with the Lord. They were communicating with him, which effectually worketh also in you, just like it did in Paul. Just like it did in Paul, that believe. The more we spiritually grow, the more natural thanksgiving will become. It will just become a natural. It's a result. Real thanksgiving from the heart is a manifestation of real spiritual advancement and growth. The more you grow spiritually, the more thankful, and the more thanksgiving will come from your heart. It's just a result. In closing, there are other ways of expressing gratitude. There are other ways of expressing gratitude to God. Think of, for instance, Mary Magdalene. She was very sinful woman, but she was saved by Jesus. She was saved. She was in the same room with all the scribes and the Pharisees. And where was she at? She was down on her knees. She was washing Jesus' feet with her tears and with her hair. What was she doing? She was saying, "Thank you, Lord." She was saying, "Thank you, Lord." That's another way of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord. Other ways, the man at the pool of Bethesda, he was lame on his feet all of his life. The Lord came to him and healed him, which is a picture of real salvation. Well, after the Lord departed from him, the Lord comes back and finds the man. Where did the Lord find him? You can read that account yourself. He found him in the temple doing what? Praising God and thanking God. The man there at the pool of Bethesda. Think of the man of Gadara. The townspeople threw him out of the town. They had put chains on him and he broke the chains. He was... threw him out of town, put him in a cave, and they didn't want nothing to do with him. Jesus comes to the man, saves him, heals him. Then the townspeople come out and they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. What was that man of Gadara doing? He was thanking the Lord before everybody. He was thanking him before everybody. He wasn't ashamed to thank the Lord before everyone. Other ways of expressing thanksgiving to the Lord is by praising Him. Praising Him. Coming to church ready to praise the Lord. To sing songs and hymns of praise to Him. That's a way of coming to church and saying, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you." Psalms 9:11, sing praises to the Lord. Psalm 67:3, let the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Hebrews 13:15, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. Continually, not just here at church, but wherever we're at. That's those songs and hymns of praise and thanksgiving coming from our hearts towards Him. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name, constantly giving thanks to His name. Psalms 22:23, ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him. You know, glorifying Him is another way of expressing thanksgiving. It's another way of expressing thanksgiving by good works. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. You know, the brighter your light shines out there in the world, the more you're saying to the world, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." You're actually telling the world, you're showing the world how thankful you are to the Lord. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. by fruit bearing. Jesus said in John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. You know, the more fruit you bear, the more you're showing thanksgiving to the Lord. All you're doing is saying, thank you, Lord. And you're doing it for Him. You're doing it for the glory of the Father. By spiritual unity in the church. Romans 15:6, that you with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of your Lord Jesus Christ, of our Lord Jesus Christ. By entire consecration. You know, the more consecrated you are to the Lord, the more you're saying thank you. You're telling Him thank you. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's anyway. Glorify Him. By saying no to sin. That's another way of saying thank you, Lord. Just by saying no to sin. You're amongst lost people out there. And there are things that they're doing, and you know it's wrong, and you walk away from it. That's a way of saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:12-14. Saying no to fornication, saying no to adultery, pride, arrogancy, the evil way, and the forward mouth are ways of expressing thanksgiving to God. For being set in a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being thankful. You know, constant prayers. I thank God for all of you. God set me in the greatest church ever in the history of the Lord's true churches. He brought me here near the corner of Saginaw and Francis. And I thank Him. I'm so glad He didn't put me any other place but here. I thank God for that. Brother Tim.